Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Magic Happens Radio Network, sponsored by the Magic Happens Magazine. You'll find us at www.themagichappens.com.
Hello and welcome. Yes, this is the Magic Happens Magazine. It's the Magic Happens Radio Network. We are live today on the 11th day of November, 2016. It is 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And what I like about reminding people the difference between if we're live at Standard or Daylight Savings is because it's only been about 5 days since we switched back here in the United States. So Eastern Standard Time will be all our shows, I guess, until March, and then we'll go back to Daylight Savings Time. I don't know about that. We'll have to do a whole program on that, the pros and the cons. Tell Me a Story is a program that I developed to give people a platform to bring their stories forth, whatever it is that they want to talk about. Many of the people that come on the program are authors. We give you their links. We tell you how to find them. We tell you how to connect with them. I mean, it's a great way to promote your stuff if you are an author. We've also had inventors on the show. We've had people that don't think they've done anything remarkable, yet they have a great story to tell. So if there's something that you would like to share with us, contact me, Annette@themagichappens.com. I will get your email. I will bring you onto the program, and we will let everybody hear your story. Because as soon as the show has completed, it goes into podcast, and it stays there for a couple of years. So really, the shows get great publicity, and you have a fabulous opportunity to come and tell your story. So today we are just waiting on the guest. Her name is Debbie Geis, and she writes under the name of DGK, K-A-Y-E. Now, Debbie loves to write about life, matters of the heart, and women's issues. She's a nonfiction memoir writer, and to me, there's almost nothing scarier than having nonfiction memoirs, because you have to relive a lot of that energy if it's about you. If you're writing it in a biography style where it's somebody else's life and they don't necessarily have to relive it while you're writing it, it might be a little easier. But a lot of the topics that Debbie writes about, and I've read a couple of her books, I've read Conflicted Hearts, and I'm getting ready to start P.S. I Forgive You, which is her latest book. They're very personal, exceedingly personal stories about her life with a mother who has narcissistic personality disorder. And that can be rather intense. I would think, especially if you were a young lady and you were growing up with somebody who just always felt they were better than you and never let you forget it. And that's the basic thrust behind what happens when you're living with or dealing with somebody with narcissistic personality disorder. And yet, the way Debbie has presented it in the book, in both books, but we'll definitely talk about Conflicted Hearts, you get the idea that it almost spurred her on to accomplishing really, really great things in her life, because she absolutely, positively has risen above everything that has happened to her in her life and become quite an accomplished person, not just in her writing, but in her everyday life, the career that she's had, the careers, the places she's lived, the things she's done. So I'm going to give you a website to go to, and it's www.dgkaye.com, and you're going to find all the links to her social media there. You're going to find out how to buy her books, which are, and I will give you the titles because they're really kind of cool, Conflicted Hearts, which is the initial story about living with the mother with narcissistic personality disorder. Meno, what? Which, for any of us, raise your hand, Annette, who have gone through menopause, trust me, you don't want to have to be going through that stuff. But Meno, what is a memoir about being menopausal? And she did state in some correspondence that we had prior to the show that men are actually finding that a very interesting book to read, and I can see why. First of all, when you see M-E-N as the first three letters of the title, you're automatically going to think, is this about guys? is this another chick slamming guys book? You know, no, not really. This is chicks talking about chicks, guys. But I think it would do men good to read the honest to goodness truth about what women go through when they're dealing with menopause, so that y'all get a clue, okay? Get a clue. Read the book, Meno What? A Memoir. Then she has Words We Carry, which have to do, the book has a lot to do with how we kind of own those words that are tossed at us, thrown at us, and why we hang on to them, and then and the ramifications thereof. So if you've ever wondered why you have so much pressure, the feelings of, man, am I ever going to get my life together? Am I ever going to go through whatever? It could be the words that you're carrying, right? So make sure you check that book out. Have Bags Will Travel. I don't know that I've ever seen somebody who's more excited to hop on a plane and go somewhere than Debbie Geis. Her books, her blog, everything talks about the fact that she loves to be out and about and moving around in the world. So Have Bags Will Travel. Wonderful book to get. P.S. I Forgive You. I don't want to tell you too much about that. I know a lot about it, but if I tell you too much about it, it'll be like a huge spoiler alert. The other books have been out for a while. This is her latest, P.S. I Forgive You. Has a lot to do with, again, picking up where conflicted hearts left off and the relationship with her mother and the fact that she suffered from narcissistic personality disorder. So it's really a wonderful opportunity for Debbie to heal when she writes her books. I think anybody that writes the type of book that she does, these matters of the heart, books about her own life, they're hugely cathartic. So if anybody out there is looking for a model, maybe a role model of how a book should be put together that would allow them to accomplish that, check out Debbie's website, dgkkayewriter.com, and connect with her. You'll find her on Facebook. You'll find her on Twitter, PokerBuster, at PokerBuster. You're going to find her, Sex Play Poker. So connect with her on Twitter. Connect with her on Facebook. Go through her website and check it out so that you can find a way to maybe learn how to put your memoirs together, learn how to put your information out there, and then, to top it all off, you'll find a way maybe to get your books written, because she, I would imagine she would be a very good book coach. And since she's not here to defend herself, I guess I can kind of say that. You know, yeah, Debbie would be a great book coach, but I think she'd make a heck of a book coach. So when you contact her, you say, you know, I was listening to Annette talk about you one day on the radio, and she said you would make a good book coach. And after she gets done probably calling me three or four very choice words, which who could blame her considering I'm sort of obligating her without her permission, yeah, I think she'd be able to help you through it. And if nothing else, read the book. You'll also find her on Amazon.com where I have picked up her books. So there you go. You are tuned in live, by the way, to Tell Me a Story here on the Magic Happens Radio Network. It is the 11th day of November, and I have, it's really kind of funny, because the, I have some technical issues here, and the funny thing is that it isn't anything that either Debbie or I have done. I don't know why it's happening. I'm going to try to rectify this, but in order for me to bring her on the show, there we go, I have to see her phone. You know what? It's Debbie. Debbie, hang on a second. Let me click you on there. Debbie, dadgummit. I sat here and told everybody all about you already.
I know. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. You know what? You know what? All right, let me explain this to people very quickly. I'm sitting here in front of a virtual studio, okay? And at one point, my virtual studio froze on me. Well, because of that, I never saw your phone light up, so I didn't think you were there. So, of course, I'm sitting here doing the tap dance of the century. And who am I to think I'm Shirley Temple, right?
So okay, well,
here.
First
Hopefully
of all, I
want to
say thank you for having me on your show, Annette. Second of all, I have to tell you, I would hire you any day as my publicist. You did a great job. I thought maybe I don't have to speak.
Oh, no, no, no. In fact, we're going to reschedule and have you back where we can actually do this some bloody justice because, again, and I apologize. So I'm glad you sent me the message that says, hey, I'm sitting here.
Well,
I
was looking at the clock and I'm standing
do.
Here listening to you, taking it all in, and I'm thinking, okay, it sounds like you're looking for me. I better run over to the computer and Facebook you.
And you know what's cute is I know we've got a couple of mutual friends in the chat room, and I
yeah.
typed in, somebody email Deb, you know,
and I heard my
I can't
phone
make
ping.
An email at the same time. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I could hear pings go off, and I'm like, why are people pinging me? They know that I'm supposed to be speaking now.
All right.
That's
well,
okay.
Dang on it, Deb.
Listen,
so take
I
over
appreciate
now.
It.
I've talked enough for everybody.
Oh, my God. You've done a great job. You did a good intro for me. I really appreciate it. And you talked about my books. Well, I would have said the same thing, maybe in a different way. But where should we go from here?
Oh, my God.
Should we talk about
well,
the new book?
Yes, and definitely, because as I tried to connect them, you know, back to Conflicted Hearts,
which
and
you did a great job.
Thank you. A narcissistic personality disorder, which I don't think people realize it's not just somebody thinking they're better than you. This is a real mental illness. And the people
well,
who live with that, you know, have to, there's a lot you go through.
Well, it is, but also you have to think back in decades past, it wasn't recognized. So it wasn't often diagnosed. And even today, a lot of people that suffer it don't really know that they are one. So living with somebody who has that type of personality was a big learning curve through my life because it's like, why is somebody like this when you grow up in a certain type of a dysfunctional family? But that's what the first book, Conflicted Hearts, is about, was my journey living and growing up in a dysfunctional home and trying to work out a way to live peacefully with my mother even after I left home at a young age. I left the book opened because when I wrote that book, my mother was still alive. And that was a really scary thing for me to do was to publish that book because besides bearing your soul to the world in a book, you are also vulnerable to legal issues, which I knew at the time my mother wasn't capable of doing, but still, I knew she could read that book. So it was very intimidating to publish that book, and I had left it unfinished in a sort of way where I had made my resolution to break away from her, but I knew there would be more, and I knew I'd have to write the second book after she passed away, and she died 2 years ago. And this book is all about forgiveness, because forgiveness is a process. We live through injustice when we've been hurt or slighted by somebody. And a natural reaction to that injustice could be hate or retaliation. But we are also wired to have compassion. So we have to learn to confront our anger, process it, begin the healing in order to forgive. Because you can't just forgive somebody. You can say you do, but you gotta feel it in your heart. And really, that's what this book was about. It was the process I went through about sending my mother off, even though my decision remained to not go back to her. So it was a very difficult and a complicated thing. But yes, it was cathartic for me to write, but most of all, a lot of my readers are identifying with situations in their own life that they find it helpful. So that's what I love about sharing my stories, is I share from my own experience. I've always been that type of writer. I'm a truth teller. I like to share experiences that I have taken something from and hopefully help others through it. And that's really what all my books are about. My Menopause, My Men Are What book is a humorous take on menopause. It's a truth. It's my journey. It ain't always pretty. It talks about all the symptoms that most of us have experienced or will experience. And I do offer some helpful tips along the way, things that I found helpful. And just, you know what, I'm all about like trying to find a laugh in everything. When, you know, if I'm not telling a really serious story, I like to see the funny side in things. That's just who I am.
Well, I think that helps because, as I can attest to, there's precious little that's funny about menopause. Unless
no
you can
kidding.
Step back and look at it. You know, it's just kind of one of those things. It's, I mean, only because at the moment it can be terrifying for some people. And for others, I've heard people say, oh, I just breezed through that. And I just look at them and go, bitch.
I know. What's up with those people?
Exactly. It's like, well, there's a special place in hell waiting for you. So don't you worry. We've lived through ours, but you get to go visit it somewhere else. I don't mean that literally, you guys, but you think that sometimes when you're going through it. So I think it's great that guys explore that book. I just found that fascinating when you told me that.
I thought, well, they need to read it. When I see reviews from men on all my books, it really, you know, I'm flattered. I really am. And sometimes I feel embarrassed because, you know, I spill it out when I write. I don't hold back. And so, especially, you know, when your friends and your male author friends and that are reading your books, and you know what? It's like I am who I am, and I'm the same person behind the computer that I am in real life, and I tell it like it is. And consequently, there are men who are curious about these things. And sure, men have parents that are dysfunctional too. Men are married or living with women who go through menopause, and most of them, from the men that I know, are like, holy crap, like, I don't know how to deal with this. My own husband didn't know how to deal with it. But, you know, you give them the warning signs, and you open the window and stick your head out in a snowstorm while you're driving in the car, and my husband learned not to question me again. Okay, I know what that is. So I tell those stories because they're real stories. So
yeah,
it doesn't matter if you're male or female. I guess people are interested. And that really makes me feel good, you know, that people are wanting to read my work.
Well, I think it's a unification thing, too, because, and I just go from the cerebral thought, if I can understand what you're going through, I can sort of, I can find it the way it relates to me on my level. So if I'm a guy and I'm not going to go through menopause, which I think is crazy because I think guys do go through it. We just call it their midlife crisis. They might not get the hot flashes, but they get other issues. They might start to see that there's more that is similar as opposed to dissimilar. And I hate to sound like the little airy fairy princess, but that's what brings the harmony in the world and we can all get along together, right? But
that's
it
right.
is what brings the harmony in the world and we can all get along together. So I'll say it both ways because it's still valid. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Debbie Geis. Tell us about the Half Bags Will Travel, because I loved it in Conflicted Hearts. You went all over the stinking place. I kept reading going, where's she going now? Where's she going?
You know what? Annette, I'm a travel freak, and I just love to be anywhere at any time. But really, my biggest hindrance in life is my luggage problem, because I have too much of it. And that is what spurred me to write that book. I have like this target thing on my forehead where any trip that I return from, I get pulled over by Canadian Customs all the time and interrogated. And it became a thing. Everyone who knows me knows if you're going to pick me up from the airport, you better don't come on time because I'll be in the holding room. And I was always fascinated with travel. I was lucky I started traveling when I was young. And I even went to travel agent school when I was in my very early 20s because of my obsession for travel. I became a travel agent, but I had another job. I was managing a company in office management, but I decided to get my travel agent certificate so I could travel with the perks. Because, you know, you're young and you're living on your own. You didn't have a lot of money, and I like to travel and like to shop. So I had this deal going with this guy I met who had a travel agency, and I kind of worked on the side for him. I said, I'll get you clients, and you do the work, and I'll send them to you, but I want the travel perks. And that's what I did. And I went to a lot of places, and I got a lot of free trips, and I guess the bug started then. Of course, my love for shopping comes along with me on every trip. So consequently, there's every trip I've ever taken, I can tell you a story with overweight luggage or broken luggage or a luggage story. So I thought, I have to write this book.
Do you think the word luggage came from the fact that we have to lug it all? I think that might be.
Ask that to my husband, who's the luggage. he starts prepping me before every vacation and says, okay, we're not taking six this time.
Can't you package it up and ship it home?
Pardon me?
Package it up and ship it home.
No, the shipping is atrocious. Shipping's atrocious. But just on that note, I'll just tell you that our last visit, when we spent the winter in Arizona this past year, and, of course, you're allowed two bags of 50 pounds each on the airplane and a carry-on luggage. And so when we got there, you know, I had packed a lot of summer clothes thinking I'm going to Arizona, but they had that fluke El Nino thing in January, and it was really cold there. So I didn't have a lot of winter clothes. P.S., we traveled around, went up north and stuff, and bought some more clothes. And before you knew it, things accumulated. And there was no way that stuff was fitting in our suitcase to go home. So my husband came up with a plan. His daughter came to visit us while we were there, and she was only bringing, like, a carry-on thing. He said, you know what? We got to go to a flea market and buy another suitcase and pack it up with all the winter stuff, because by February it was already warm there, and send it home with his daughter. So we had to buy another suitcase, and when we actually came home, we were still overweight luggage, but they let us go through that time, which is a first. So, yeah, we have a lot of luggage because a lot of times we've had to buy another piece to come home. It's very sad, but you got to laugh. I cannot control.
Oh, my God. Debbie Geis is my guest, and, yeah, you'll laugh. Read the books. Go to her website, www.dgkaye.com, and we're talking specifically about her book, Have Bags, Will Travel. But it's humorous to me because if you're going to look at this lady's picture, and this is a class act here. This is a classy dame. So I can see you standing there giving customs and immigration the what for about, what do you mean I'm 5 pounds overweight? I have worked hard to get this body. Oh, you mean my luggage? Well, that's just you know, I mean, I can see you having this guy. I used to work at a border crossing, so I heard a lot of stories from back in the day, and I can just see you giving them the what for. And I'm thinking, oh my God, what a great gift you have to be able to translate that into something that can give the rest of us a smile. I appreciate that about you.
You
got
to laugh. That's just it. What are you going to do? I mean, a plane load of 270 people comes off a plane. We're standing at the line in customs to get back home, and then you go get your baggage, and you wheel outside, and you see that exit sign, and you're going home, and 269 people are waved through, and the big hand comes out in your face, you this way. And it's always just me. And my husband, when we first started dating, he was shocked. He said, in my whole life, I've never been pulled over at customs. And I said, well, if you're going to be with me, you better get used to it. And from there on, he's still not used to it, but it happens every time.
Dear God in heaven, I love it. That is, I just find you fascinating. I find the way you write fascinating, the way you live eccentric, but in a delightful way. I mean, not like we would point and stare and go, oh, look, there's Debbie Geis. Yeah, well, we're just going to walk over this way and pretend she didn't see us. Heck no, I want to stand there and go, hey, Deb, what? Tell me some new stories. So with that in mind and that thought, and I know we haven't touched on Words We Carry yet, which I would love to give you the opportunity to do, and then let us know if you've got something new in addition to P.S. I Forgive You that's in the works, because I'd love to know more about what you got going on book-wise, lady.
Okay, well, Words We Carry is actually stories from my life about when I was younger and my lack of self-esteem, because I didn't have one. And I basically found my own way through life, through my own investigations and through friendships I made. When I moved away from home when I was 18, there was no nurturing there, and the best thing I did was get away and form friendship. My best friend, actually, who now lives in England, was my mentor and still is my mentor in life. She pulled me up from the dredges and really taught me how to love myself, because I didn't, because I didn't know how. And so I wrote this book telling stories about incidents that happened to me in life that, you know, made me feel deflated. And particularly when you're called names and picked on and things like that, they don't go away. It's like the person who's been heavy all their life, and then they lost a lot of weight and they're really thin, but they look at themselves in the mirror and they still see themselves as that big, heavy person, because that's who they still are inside. And that's how I wanted to share my stories for that, to try to encourage and help other people. And I talk about relationships in that book and how to build healthy relationships and what kind of things to look out for, even talk about internet dating. It's kind of like a smorgasbord of thoughts and things that have happened to me. Some of them, you know, there's some, I always try to put some humor in my books that are not my memoir, my actual memoir, Conflicted Hearts, and P.S. I Forgive You, because there's nothing funny there. But in life, I do try to find the funny of a situation, because that's just who I am. I'm the glass half full kind of girl. That's how I've always been, and that's how I always got by. So I just try to show my overcomings to other people to encourage them, and I get a lot of great feedback, and it makes me so happy when I know I have helped somebody else through my writing. So that's kind of what keeps me going. You know, right now, you ask me what I'm working on. I'm working on 20 different things that are not a book, but as far as the book goes, I have started journaling for a book idea, and I don't really have a title for it yet, but it's geared towards living with seniors. And my husband's 2 decades older than I am. And when we got married, there was no big age gap really felt between us. But as the years go by, things happen, illness happens, things like that. And there's a lot of boomers living now in the times where the times are changing, retirement, health issues, blah, blah, blah. So I thought, you know what, I need to start writing a book about this that could help people to understand by the things that I am discovering myself in my relationship with my husband, and so forth. It's kind of the premise of the book. I don't know exactly where I'm taking it, but that's the premise of my new book.
And it's a very valid premise for a lot of people.
It's
as
current.
Many of us. Yeah, exactly. Many of us, more than has ever been in history, find ourselves in that state of living, whether
mm-hmm.
we are this side of 50 or that side of 50. I'm this side of 50, meaning
exactly,
way over
yeah.
the other side of it.
There's
but
a lot
but
of
everybody
humor,
around
so.
Me is. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So kudos to you for helping us out that way and giving us some support in knowing we're not alone, because I think that's the hardest thing when you're facing any
oh, absolutely.
Obstacle in your life.
You want to have someone to identify with. And actually, I wasn't going to write another book. I said I need to take a break because I put out 5 books in 3 years, and I wanted to experiment some other avenues with writing. But it just seems this idea came to me, and I started journaling notes about it after I put out the last book last month. And I think I'll get back to it in the winter and maybe have it out late next year. Then I need to breathe.
Oh, yeah. Heck, yeah. That's very important. If you're going to stay alive, breathing, Deb, works really well. So they
well, that's
me.
My motto.
That,
live,
a glass
love,
of wine,
laugh,
you know.
And don't forget to breathe.
So I was going to say, words of wisdom, things you'd like to share with us, tell us a great holiday recipe. I mean, the floor's yours.
I can't even really give you a recipe because even though I am noted as a good cook, I don't write down recipes. I do them by, what do you say, I fake it. I don't use measuring cups. I don't use those kind of things. And it's like my husband says, oh, what are we having tonight? It's going to be a surprise because it's never going to taste like it did the last time I made it. So I'm not going to talk about recipes, but I am going to say one of my famous quotes is, for every kindness, there should be kindness in return. Wouldn't that just make the world right? And I know that's an appropriate saying for always, and particularly in these times.
Yeah, definitely. Debbie Geist can't even begin to apologize enough that you taught me something about my own video here, that when I don't see the person, there's a little button I can click that might bring them right to me, and that's once I realized I found you. So thank you for having your patience and being part of the show today. I would welcome you back anytime that you would
like
to come back, and love continuing to read your book. So thank you so much for sharing with us.
Well, thanks for the great introduction, and thanks for holding up without me there as I was trying to say, I'm here. But you did a great job. I said I would hire her any day for my publicist. But I really want to thank you for having me.
I'd take the job. You are so welcome, Debbie Geist. This has been an absolute pleasure. Debbie Geist has been my guest today. You'll find her at dgkkaywriter.com. That's where you're going to find about all her social links, how to get her books, and we know that you will want to listen to the webcast we just did. Again, it will go into podcast within 3 minutes of me hitting the stop button. Thank you, Debbie. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to the program today to enjoy hearing about DGK on Tell Me a Story.
You're listening to the Magic Happens Radio Network, sponsored by the Magic Happens Magazine. You'll find us at www.themagichappens.com.